From all of us here at Famicom Flashbacks, we'd like to welcome all our listeners to our first ever title bout! Star Wars versus The Legend of Zelda.
Oh yeah.
This is our first ever one of these that we've ever done, and we're hoping it's going to be a continuing thing where we pit characters from different franchises against one another, and see how they fare.
Yeah. I think this one's going to be especially fun.
I think this is going to be, because I love fighting, and there's only one person in this world who enjoys blood and fighting and that type of thing more than me. And that's Matt.
Me, my whole life revolves around fighting and blood.
He came out of the womb fighting.
And blood.
Okay.
Off topic.
Oh, gross. Part of that's true. But we wanted to start this out strong, and we wanted to start out with, I would say, two of our favorite franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, these are Star Wars. Come on.
Yeah.
Cinema franchise extraordinaire.
And a lot of unique characters in there with each their own abilities and fighting styles. And
exactly. And we're just coming off our space theme, so we got Star Wars in our blood right now.
Blood!
We're bleeding Metachlorians.
I was just going to say that.
Yes!
You got there first.
And then next month we're going to be going into our legend theme, which we have a big legend theme, there's a lot of games to cover. And that's going to be one of the big features that is going to be the Legends of Zelda series.
Do, 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 do.
So to really see these characters against one another, I mean, it's kind of a great segue from one into to the other themes.
No, it
very
is.
Excited.
Yeah,
very excited. But we have basically 12 fights that we have set up for you guys. 12 different bouts, title bouts, ding, 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 that we are going to be showcasing during the course of November, throughout November. And this episode is all about just showing you guys what are the 12 fights that we are going to see. What are the 12 bouts? There are so many bouts we could have done. Different Star Wars characters. Obviously, Star Wars has a plethora of different characters, as does the Legend of Zelda series. So it was really difficult to round it down to 12 different fights. But I think we came up with some cool ones.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's
some fun ones.
Oh, yeah.
And some that are just a little strange. But the way we're going to put this together today is we're going to start out with, we're going to lead up to the really big fight. So we're going to start out with some of the smaller fights and lead up to the really big one. So you want to make sure you stay tuned the whole episode because it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
So let's get right down to it. We're calling this title bout The Force versus the Triforce.
Woo!
You see what we did there?
I see what we did there, yeah.
Because it was like The Force is Star Wars and the Triforce is Legend of Zelda.
But you think, with that Triforce, they have three times the amount of force that Star Wars has, so...
Well, as we go through here, I mean, that's definitely something to consider. As we go through, we'll definitely pick out what sides in the fight we think have the advantage. And you'd think, just hearing The Force versus the Triforce has got to have the advantage, right?
You would think, just because by that alone, yeah.
The Triforce is like three forces.
It is.
It's like even more Metachlorians.
It's like the force of nature times three minus
the
normal
three.
Force.
Tri is times three. That's pretty good.
Tri is three.
I like it.
I know my thing.
Let's start it out. Title bout number 12.
Ugh.
Okay? We're going to start this out kind of fun. This is not the bout. This is not the fight that you're thinking is going to be like. This is the opening fight. This is the one you just showed up with your candy and all that stuff, and you're ready to see what happens. Fight number one. Jar Jar Binks versus Tingle.
The horrible. Misa terrible.
That's going to be great. That's going to be a great fight. It's going to last.
That is going to be an interesting fight.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting fight. My good friend Matt is going to tell us a little bit about the Star Wars characters, in this case, Jar Jar Binks. Can you tell us a little bit about Jar Jar?
Well, Jar Jar is, in one word, useless. But he's a member, he's a Gungan.
He is a Gungan.
They have an underwater city, and I forget the name of it. The names of these cities are so bizarre.
He can swim.
He can swim. Well, which it might be key, and depending on where they're fighting.
Yeah, depending on the battleground, swimming could help.
He's a member of the Gungan Grand Army, and he's not very courageous. At least when you first introduced him in the movies, he's kind of a scaredy cat.
Yeah, no.
So seeing how he'll pit one on one against Tingle,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see.
Well, I'll go over the Zelda side. Tingle is by no means a courageous character at all. What race is he? He's kind of unknown. They're not really sure.
He's a mix between like a fairy and a gnome.
It's assumed that he is part of the Hylian race, but because he's such a strange character, his description was he's a strange little man, easily spotted by his trademark green bodysuit, bright nose, and pointy beard. And he is definitely the Jar Jar Binks of the Zelda franchise.
Yeah, I can definitely.
He's a character you love to hate. And notable appearances. He's appeared in games like Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, and Minish Cap. What's he good for? Well, if it's a sky battle, he does like to fly around in balloons. That's his main deal. And the reason he does that is because when he's in the sky flying around, he basically draws maps of the surrounding area of Hyrule and the surrounding areas. So he knows his way around. So that'd be good. So I would say if this battle between Jar Jar and Tingle takes place in the sky or even on land because he knows his way around, he might have a clear advantage in this case.
It's true, but he doesn't seem to have any weapons. The Tingle being so
Correct.
Small, will have to
Correct.
Get up close and personal. Jar Jar's advantage is one, he is a member of an army, so he has some kind of military
Correct.
Training. He's equipped with an electro pole, so he automatically has reach. So he
Correct.
Can keep Tingle at bay, but I would say out of the two, Jar Jar is probably more of a wuss. So he might
Right. And
he
given,
might
given that it's Jar Jar, you have to are we assuming that Jar Jar is gonna be able to rally the troops of the Gungan army to help fight Tingle and his I think he has like two or three brothers. I don't know. For a lot of episode one, the Gungans aren't too fond of Jar Jar.
They also have those little plasma balls that he can use in
That's
the sling.
True.
But we've only seen him work against robotic creatures.
Right.
So how they would fare against a gnome, sprite, fairy, whatever. Who knows? It might give him power.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. What do you think? Who do you think has the advantage?
In my opinion, I think Jar Jar has the advantage only because he has a staff of sorts. He has a height advantage, a strength
yeah.
advantage. But, you know, it all depends on the location where the fight takes place.
Yeah.
If it goes from water to sky to air and changes, the advantage is going to shift depending on where it's at. But I think the advantage, in my opinion, would go to Jar Jar.
Yeah, I would agree with you. As long as he's in his natural environment, I think Jar Jar has the advantage in this particular fight. But you know what? He is a fraidy cat, and Tingle's kind of scary. If I was walking around by myself, I'd probably be frightened if I saw someone like Tingle, to be quite honest with you.
I would be frightened, though, if I saw someone like Jar Jar walking down the street coming toward me.
Absolutely. But it'd be a different kind of scared, like, oh, man, it's an alien,
it's
as
true.
Opposed to, oh, man.
In terms of speaking, though,
he
Jar Jar definitely does not have an intimidation factor.
No.
Misa hurts you so bad!
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Agreed. So I think we both kind of give the advantage over to Jar Jar on this one, given circumstances. So let's move on to title bout number 11. Now, this one's kind of cool. We're talking two entire races for this one. We have the Gamorreans from the Star Wars franchise versus the Moblins of the Legend of Zelda franchise. So I want to tell us a little bit about the Gamorreans.
Oh, yeah. They're from the Outer Rim planet of Gamorre. Basically, they are an orc pig-looking race. They have horns,
yeah.
They have teeth, and they're covered in blood-sucking parasites. Like
disgusting.
It's pretty... They're hairy, they're green, they're brutish. They're... I mean, these guys have some strength to them. They're not very intelligent. They can't speak any kind of common or any kind of language due to the way their teeth and their mouths are structured. They can only talk basically in their own native tongue.
Oh, wow.
You know, well, which is kind of when you hear them in the movie, they're just kind of grunting and stuff.
And
they can't really open their mouth until they just kind of talk to each other, I guess. But,
if people want to know what they're from, I mean, you see them predominantly in Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi when you're in Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
They're the pig guards that hold holds the pole arms. Yeah, he gets eaten,
which is awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. That'd be a full meal.
Yeah, no, they're big.
Yeah,
you know what's funny? As I look at my description of Moblins, it's almost spot on the same description as the Gamorreans. Their description is that they look like a cross between a bulldog and a pig. Moblins are strong, but unintelligent.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much exactly the same. The only difference is that Moblins aren't green. But they're pretty similar races. It would be really fun to watch these two go toe-to-toe. If you remember, Moblins' appearances, they've appeared in most of the Zelda games. But going back to the original Legend of Zelda, they're the bulldog-looking creatures that throw spears at you.
Yeah.
That's what I remember them from.
Yeah.
But most recently I played Skyward Sword. They were in Skyward Sword. They're very big.
In every game, have they equipped anything else other than spears? Like, have you seen them or anything else?
You know, I remember in Skyward Sword they had a spear and oftentimes shields.
Okay.
So you had to, like, destroy their shield before you even got a chance to really attack them. I'm trying to remember what else. Wind Waker, spear. I think that's kind of their weapon of choice, spear.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a weapon of choice for the Gamorreans?
Well, not really. They have like a multitude of gladiator type weapons. You see them equipping axes, spears, pole arms, swords. They have depending on what they're using, they wear different armor, the shoulder pads, different chest plates, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on what, because they're pretty much bred fighters, you know. So
right.
I think they're brought up, trained in a certain way. So, I mean, I think it would depend on who they're going up against, but
yeah,
you know, but yeah, they don't really have one type. I mean, I think it's pretty much what they get their hands on is.
Yeah. And the Moblins, I mean, it's very similar. I mean, they are the muscles of Ganondorf's army, really. I mean, that's they're very similar to the Gamorreans. In that sense, Gamorreans, I always like them. You know, obviously the big part that you remember seeing them in is Return of the Jedi. But I always liked them when they made cameos in actual Star Wars games. They're one of the cool characters that show up in Lego Star Wars. I don't know if you've ever played any of those.
No, dude.
But if you start, you'd actually appreciate this. If you build with the Lego, because that's one of the things with the Lego games, you can build stuff.
Right, right.
If you build a radio and turn it on, it'll start playing heavy metal music, like Star Wars version, Star Wars music done in heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gamorreans will come out and they'll grab their little axes, because axes are a big part of the Gamorrean arsenal. They'll grab the axes and they'll start playing them like guitars. And then you can just take them out because they're too busy rocking out the heavy metal Star Wars music.
Rock on.
There is also a playable Gamorrean character on the awful Star Wars Masters of the Terracotta game for PlayStation 1.
He was a beast, though.
Yeah, no, he is pretty
good. His special ability allowed him to, like, triple in size and would, like, one-shot you.
Yeah, that's right.
He's massive.
He's
like, kind of like a battle cry and stuff like that. It was really quite cool.
I would say that would be the redeeming value of the Gamorreans. If they can do that where they double or triple in size like they do in Masters of the Terracotta, I can't believe we're referencing such a horrible game. But if they have that ability, then I would say they stand a chance. Because Moblins can vary in size greatly.
Right.
There are smaller ones, there are big ones. Not only that, but there's a lot of offshoots of the Moblin race that they oftentimes work with. The Bako Goblins and those type of things. So I think there's a huge advantage there for the Moblins, because given the fact that, you know, if they were to take the Gamorreans on, given the fact that if they weren't enough, they'd have a lot of allies to call on if they needed help. Otherwise, I mean, spears versus axes, I mean, obviously axes are a big deal for the Gamorrean arsenal, but I think possibly Gamorreans might have the advantage in the fact that they can use a lot of different weapons.
Yeah, I think this one would be too close to call. you know, to really...
It'd be difficult because I think they're so similar in appearance that during the fight, they get confused and they think...
I think it would ultimately depend on who was leading them, what their battle strategies were.
You absolutely.
If the Gamorreans, if they're not that intelligent, so they might not have a battle strategy. They might just run in...
Right.
Freelance, you know, and just start attacking whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the Moblins.
The Moblins.
They might be more unified and might have.
I think that might be the case. I mean, Moblins, they usually have a strong leader like Ganondorf or something to kind of steer them in the right direction. Whereas the Gamorreans, I mean, in Return of the Jedi, you see them as kind of the brute force behind Jabba the Hutt, you know, and I don't see him as being nearly as tactical of a leader as Ganondorf in this case, you know.
Right.
So, for my money, I would say probably the Moblins have the advantage in this fight, but again, it would just be an awesome fight to see, so.
It will be, but I'd have to agree with you. I think you'd go to the Moblins.
Yeah. Title bout number 10. Here's a good one. I'm very excited about this one. Darth Maul versus Ghirahim. Now, Darth Maul, I'm going to let you talk about him first. Everybody knows Darth Maul. You tell us a little bit about Darth Maul.
Darth Maul is a Sith. He started out as a Night Brother on Dathomir, which is where he was born. And basically a Night Brother is it's a title given to all the members. It's a society of male Zabraks. I guess that's his race.
Right,
Zabrak.
Okay.
And they're subservient to Night Sisters, ultimately under the rule of a clan mother. So, and basically, Palpatine, or Sidious, came and basically just beat it into his head that he wanted him to be a Sith. And just, he's just awesome.
I mean, let's be honest. If there was the greatest thing in the newer Star Wars, the new trilogy, it's Darth Maul.
Yeah, no, it's true.
He's awesome.
It is. I mean, it's just...
just too bad he died in the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, he was trained by Sidious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he's the Emperor, you know what I mean? It's just, you don't get...
Yeah.
I mean, you think of different people who would train you, it's just, if you had to pick, it's like, you know, I was trained by...
Yeah.
I was trained by him. And, I mean, it's just, you don't get much more awesome than that. And he's just so intimidating. He's got so many things going for him in his corner. I'll talk about his weapons and loud after you give the background of that guy, but he's got so many advantages that...
Yeah, and he's cool because, I mean, when that
he's
movie...
He's pure evil.
When episode 1 came out, they utilized him in merchandising and video games and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, he's been playable... He's actually been playable characters in games, you know. If you play, like, Battlefront...
Yeah.
You see him coming after you, I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, you get to play him in Lego Star Wars, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of my guilty pleasures, he's a earnable character in Jedi Power Battles. And when you earn him, once you go Maul, you never go back.
I would agree with that.
The way he swings that lightsaber, I mean, it essentially, even in the game, it's like having two lightsabers.
Yeah.
Because you get not only the swing, but you have the opposite side of the swing, too. So as you're swinging your lightsaber around, you get the backhand as well. He's awesome. He's awesome. I mean, he's my vote for who I'd like to win. But let's talk a little bit about Ghirahim, because Ghirahim is pretty awesome, too. Mild spoilers here, if you haven't played Skyward Sword yet, you know, obviously he's one of the main bad guys in Skyward Sword. He's from a race of demons, so where you say Darth Maul is just evil incarnate, Ghirahim's actually he's an actual demon. I mean, that's his deal. He is a demon. Bit flamboyant, very effeminate, overconfident demon lord dressed in white tights and a red cape. He also seems to wear makeup. Don't know if he actually does. Darth Maul's advantage is that all that stuff is actually his face. It's not makeup for him.
Yeah, that's.
You know, and then obviously his Skyward Sword is where Ghirahim's from. He's not been in any other games, but Skyward Sword. But I'll tell you, I mean, he's awesome. And you mentioned that Darth Maul was trained by
Sidious.
Ghirahim is, his master is Demise, who, if you haven't played Skyward Sword yet, he is the main villain
he essentially sets up everything that happens in every Legend of Zelda games. His what Demise does in that game causes all of Ganondorf's actions and all you know.
It's really quite interesting how these are pairing up. They both like everybody seems to have somewhat of a similar backstory. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, these guys are both trained by Serious Masters. Now you know you might point out that Darth Maul has probably the most awesome weapon of all time, a dual lightsaber. But interestingly enough, Ghirahim himself is a weapon. And I don't want to get into too much, but essentially, inside of him is Demise's greatest weapon, which is a sword. I mean, he basically pulls that from Ghirahim. Mm-hmm. So again, you're talking living weapon. So, you know, obviously, I mean, I love Darth Maul. He's one of my favorite Star Wars characters. But it would be an absolute challenge. I mean, Ghirahim has, anything you have to say about Darth Maul, Ghirahim has a lot to back up on in the same sense. They're very similar.
But you have to understand, also, Darth Maul has the dark side of the Force.
Correct.
But he has Force powers. So, and that's just, I mean, and it's not just,
you're right.
Force push. Well, I mean, they have, the Force can do so many things.
Right.
I mean, he could just force choke him, you know, like whether that would be effective against, you know, a type of demon or not. But I mean, it's just, I think the advantage automatically just goes to him because of I hate saying this because force doesn't automatically mean you win. But he has, depending on what situation he gets into, I think he has more abilities to get himself
out of it. I think it's fair to say, I mean, you got the Force versus the Triforce. Most of the game. Ghirahim is trying to get possession of Zelda, who in effect controls a portion of the Triforce. So it's not like he has that major force behind him. But, to be fair, Darth Maul, he gets cut in half. I mean, he is mortal in that sense. He can easily get cut in half. Whereas Ghirahim, you fight him multiple times in the game, and each time you do major damage to him, and it just causes his form to evolve. So it becomes, it's almost like the more you destroy him,
the stronger he becomes.
So, I mean,
it would be interesting.
It would be a very interesting fight. I'd say knockout, dragout, you know, I would say in the end, for me, the advantage goes to Darth Maul, but Darth Maul would be coming out in half of himself, essentially. I mean, he would come out with limbs cut off and...
Especially if he had his that fight music playing from the Phantom Menace. I mean... It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
And the other thing is, Darth Maul's very fast.
Very, very fast.
But Ghirahim can teleport. I mean, he essentially, there's multiple times when you're fighting, he just shows up right next to you. So, I mean, it would be wild, to say the least.
I wonder if Darth Maul would be able to use the Force to, like the Dark Side, to know, okay, he's going, knowing.
Because
you think if he's teleporting, there's a disruption. You know, in the natural energy, so if he would know where he's going to appear or not, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's realistic.
It'd be kind of sexy.
Yeah. I think Ghirahim's major weakness, though, is the fact that he's so overconfident. He's not a real, what's the word? He's not very offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very slow to move because he's so overconfident. I think Darth Maul is—he's bad, and he'll take advantage of whatever he can get. So I think in the end, I'm going advantage Darth Maul.
I have to agree.
Yeah. All right, let's look at next title bout number 9: the Ewoks versus the Kikwi. Okay, so we just came off.
This would be too cute to watch, you know.
First of all, this would be adorable. This would be the perfect way to segue from the most crazy battle you just ever saw between Darth Maul and Ghirahim. You need a little break, okay? Time to take it down a notch and watch the Ewoks fight the Kikwi.
It's like when you're if you're watching Natural Born Killers on acid, and then right when the Coke commercial comes with the little bears, you're just like, I've ever done that. I just, you know.
It's like watching it's like watching 300, and then immediately turning on Smurfs.
Yeah. Ew. Why?
It's fair. A lot of people don't like Ewoks.
It's true.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the Ewoks?
Ewoks are the cutest little things ever from Endor. They're little teddy bears.
Right. The moon of Endor.
Correct. Yes. Think of Teddy Ruxpin. That's an Ewok.
Hmm.
You know, just
good
little
analogy.
Just a little cute bear who uses nature as its weapon. Basically, anything they can get their hands on. I mean, I would think they're the masters of improvised weaponry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they slings, spears, mud, traps. I mean, anything that they nets. And anything they can use from their environment, they'll use to their advantage.
You can hate them, but they're one of the greatest guerrilla warriors of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Obviously, notable appearances. Again, Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
That's where they showed up.
And then they have their own little movie, the Ewoks Battle for Endor.
Which is
awesome.
You know, some cartoon forms as well.
Hopefully Disney makes another one or re-releases that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a big seller.
Hey, that could be marketing there. I could see that. So that's the Ewoks. Kiqui, also very cute. Again, these are characters that showed up in Skyward Sword. They're strange, fuzzy creatures with tiny little beaks, stubby limbs, and a plant bulb growing out of their back, similar to like Bulbasaur from the Pokemon franchise. They also have a green little stem sprouting out the top of their head. I'm not gonna lie, they're not warriors. They're very scared of things. They run around. They try to hide. When the Moblins show up in their area, they really just book.
But so are Ewoks. I mean, as you saw as Wicket, you know, when Leia first arrived, you know, he was very skittish of even the helmet she was taking off.
Yeah, but it's almost like a tactical thing. You know, they're almost like,
yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to... Obviously, these people will overpower me if given a chance, so I'm going to stay hidden. I mean, it's more of a tactical decision, whereas with the Kiqui, it's... You know, I have this giant bulb on my back. If I sprout it out, I'm going to look like a plant and people will walk right by me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to say it. Advantage Ewoks.
Yeah.
I mean, but let's be fair. We're not in this to see the battle here. We're in to see just... I want to see them hug in the end.
Ultimately, yeah.
You know, that'd be the most adorable
thing. And then dance and play the drums and just
dance,
sing
play the
and
drums,
have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Title bout number 8. This one's really interesting, okay? this is between multiple warriors. This is a... kind of a tag team bout.
Multiple warriors.
Well, yeah, I guess that term... I consider R2-D2 a warrior.
I would consider...
He's tough. He's tough. C-3PO, maybe not as much. No. So we got R2-D2, C-3PO versus B from Skyward Sword and Scrapper from Skyward Sword. You know, it'll be interesting. Another interesting fight. Fight in parentheses. Why don't you tell us, before we get into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about C-3PO and R2-D2?
C-3PO was made, was constructed by Anakin when he was a kid, out of, you know, obviously wires, circuits. He was a very, very bright child. And R2-D2 came about once, he was just a member of the Rebel Alliance, right? I mean, he wasn't built, he was served under Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So he was there from basically... Well, they're both really there from the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, R2-D2 wasn't constructed from any of the main characters. He just became a part of the story already pre-built.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, you never saw him being built.
Right.
I mean, R2-D2, I mean, he's awesome. Number one.
Yeah, R2-D2 shows no fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think
he's programmed to fear.
I don't think he is either.
I think that's the deal. That's another thing I didn't understand about C-3PO. Why would you program your droid with fear? C-3PO is a scary cat.
Yeah.
But R2-D2, I mean, he's there from the beginning. I mean, even when they're in episode 1, when they're flying around getting shot at.
He's a battle droid. There. I mean, R2-D2 is a battle droid.
Remember on episode 1 where he's like anti-gravity out there on the plane fixing things? And all the other D2 units
are getting blown up. He's just like, eh.
And he just keeps going. I mean,
He's good under stress, as we saw in New Hope.
And he always kind of knows what's going on.
He does.
Like, our C-3PO never knows. He's always like, what are you doing, R2? Like, what? He's always questioning R2. R2, basically throughout the whole series, is one of the masterminds of the Rebel Alliance. He knows what's going on the whole time, you know? Even when in New Hope, when they have the message. I mean, C-3PO has no clue what's going on with the message on R2-D2. No clue whatsoever. And R2-D2 knows the plan. It's like he knows. He's the almost like the mastermind behind the entire, the entire six movies.
Yeah, I mean, C-3PO is just an interpreter. You know, I mean, that's basically all he
protocol was droid.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he was built to do. So, I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, trying to think of what his strengths would be in a combat situation, I really have trouble finding.
Right.
The only thing I could think of is if they're going into a battle. If he can overhear what the enemy, what they're saying, he can translate and maybe try to make something come of it. But other than that, in terms of fighting, he has no fighting ability.
He has some golden moments throughout the series. I mean, obviously, especially with Return of the Jedi, that's where C-3PO really shines, is between like what he's able to do. It's almost like his obliviousness a lot of times serves the purpose of the story, and obviously the purpose of the story, but serves the plans of our protagonist. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, you know, Han, Luke, Chewbacca, they would be Ewok meat.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he does serve a purpose without a doubt.
He doesn't have any initiative, though.
No.
I mean, that was all Han telling him to do. He wasn't like, I gotta save my friends, let me do that. It's almost like he needs to be told what to do, and then he can be successful.
And he's extremely slow.
He is very slow.
Yeah.
So, but R2, I mean, he has that flamethrower that we saw, in episode 1.
Yeah, he lost the ability to fly, though. Remember that? He had that in the first couple ones.
He has oil slick, he has the electro shock prod. Yeah.
Shock prod is a major thing.
He's got a couple. You know, a couple of different things to use to his advantage.
Yeah.
And especially if they're fighting in some kind of, like, mechanical environment, he can alter, what's going on. So,
they're pretty awesome droids, those D2 units.
Yeah.
The R2 units, I should say. They seem to be able to hack into a lot of different computers and kind of make some key decisions.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about Fee and Scrapper. Okay, I'm going to start with Scrapper. Scrapper is an ancient robot. He is part of the LD-301 series. These are very old robots that eventually, over time, because of the change in the environment, eventually they decayed, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They almost like fossilized and became just like masses of rock. Scrapper is small and ancient looking. With very large hands and a propeller on top of his head. So that's key. Scrapper has the ability to fly. The other thing that Scrapper has the ability to do is carry very large objects. Throughout the course of Skyward Sword, that's the main purpose of Scrapper. When you find something, you need to move it to a new location,
mm-hmm.
Major items that Link can't carry around, Scrapper can carry some heavy-duty stuff. So that's his advantage. Fee, Mistress Fee. Now, I put these two together. The pairing was made because Scrapper is very fond of Mistress Fee. Mistress Fee is a spirit. And very specifically, she is a sword spirit. She lives inside of the Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
She lives inside of it. That's kind of her deal. Anytime Link needs that kind of, because obviously we know the thing about Link is he always needs a spirit guide of some sort. Anytime he needs someone to give him some information on a villain and that type of thing, she's there to pop out of the sword or pop out of his holster and kind of tell him about different villains. Very annoying in that respect as well. So I think as far as talking's concerned, she would do very well against C-3PO if it was just a discussion, a debate. If they just sat down and had a debate, it'd be obnoxious, to be quite honest.
But any creature that can see weaknesses in their opponents automatically has a key advantage.
Correct.
And especially if you're going up against robots.
Right.
I mean, it's not difficult to say, how do we shut them? I mean, there's numerous ways to shut them down.
Yes. No, it would be very, this is one of those fights I'm going to have to side on the Zelda franchise. Because, first off, it would be R2-D2 by himself. Let's not lie here.
No,
C-3PO can't accomplish much. R2-D2 can do a lot, but still he's limited to a couple just... He's essentially like Data from Goonies. He has a couple bit trick, you know, just tricks he can do, but to be against somebody, first Scrapper, who can carry things and fly, you know, carry very, very large objects, and then Fee, who is essentially a tactician. She can tell you the weaknesses of things, tell you percentages of although I believe, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO, they're good at percentages as well, as far as the tactician thing. I remember in one of the movies where they're going through the asteroid belt, he is able to give you the percentages of likelihood that you'll be able to fly through it when the Millennium Falcon's going through it. I believe that was in Empire.
Yeah.
And so they have that, but in the end, I'm for myself, I got to side Fee and Scrapper.
I think I'd have to agree. The only thing, the only situation where I think C-3PO and R2-D2 could win was if Fee would obviously detect weaknesses in them, realize C-3PO has zero ability, he's a coward, right. Go after him first. Knowing him, he would run.
Yeah.
They go after him, leaving R2-D2 to possibly set up some kind of trap.
Yeah.
To either, like I said, the oil slick get, you know, to where something he could manipulate as running under a lift, you know, that's the only kind of thing I could see, but that's a very limited situation.
And R2-D2 has the benefit of, he's usually the overlooked of the two. You know, C-3PO, he's bright, he's shiny, he's gold. You know, I could see where he'd be the one, the easy target.
Yeah.
C-3PO seems to go overlooked. I mean, like I said, you know, even like the episode one, I mean, the other R2 units are getting shot down. Yeah. R2-D2, you know, again, he's just overlooked. So, yeah. I would never count R2-D2 out. But in this particular battle, I'd have to say advantage, Fee and Scrapper.
Agreed.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see when we go through the actual bouts themselves, but I'm seeing an advantage there. Title bout number 7. Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Raru.
Rawr.
The Sage. Rawr. the Sage. I gotta be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to this bout. I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi he trained under Qui-Gon Jinn, who we met in Phantom Menace, and
which is awesome.
Which is awesome. And after he was after Qui-Gon was killed. Mm. He took out the Sith, and he was actually the first Jedi to take out a Sith in 1,000 years.
Wow.
So Yoda promoted him to a Jedi Knight, and he became part of the Council and stuff like that for him. And as you know, he went on to take over the training of Anakin, and, you know, everybody knows what happens next. And he's known as a negotiator. Yeah. He doesn't like to fight. He likes to find peaceful resolutions and stuff like that. But when he has to fight, he is a very skilled warrior.
Yeah.
You know, he's very smart about how he goes into battle. He doesn't just rush into things. He seems to know all his surroundings and any key advantages he can take during the fight. So I think he's going to be a tough one to go against.
Yeah. No, and he was another one. Again, guilty pleasure. Star Wars, the Jedi Power Battles, you know, Each of the Jedis had different abilities. I was always Mace Windu because he could throw his lightsaber at a guy across the place and would hit him. But they all had unique abilities, and Obi-Wan was a fun one to play as. And he's, again, you talk about characters that have been seen throughout the series. You know, Obi-Wan has been in essentially every Star Wars movie, even if he's showing up in, like, ghost form.
Uh-huh.
He's still, I mean, the fact that he has the ability to show up in that spiritual form, or you know, in the second two movies, or
right.
I mean, not second two movies, the episode 5 and 6. I mean, that's awesome. But in the same sense, Raru has that same type of ability. He's the spiritual guide, and this is where I'd like to see the battle go. I'd like to see a battle between two spiritual guides. I mean, that's kind of cool. If you don't know much about Raru, He is a Hylian. He is the ancient sage of the light, and he often appears in owl form, which we found out during when you play Ocarina of Time. There's an owl that follows around, and thanks to some of the things that Nintendo has posted since then, we know that the owl that follows you around is actually Rauru in a different form. He's almost like, almost how Obi-Wan Kenobi appears to Link in that spiritual form. Rauru appears as an owl, which is kind of cool. but he's essentially one of Link's guides in Ocarina of Time. That's his main appearance. A lot of people do debate whether or not, you know, the old man that you see in the original Legend of Zelda is the same character and that type of thing, which we don't know. I mean, it's not canon, it would be pretty cool because you have these two kind of sagely-like leaders that kind of come to the main hero in spiritual form.
Right, right.
It would be a cool fight. But here's the thing. When it comes down to just, if it came down to just hand-to-hand or, like, weapon-to-weapon, you know, for myself, I'm going to go Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Lightsaber and the Force. I mean, those are, you know.
Yeah.
It's just nasty. And the speed. I mean, he's got such, I mean, it's hard to pit somebody up against the Force, you know, because it automatically, I just think, it's just. They have so many key advantages.
Yeah, and I see Obi-Wan as the perfect Jedi. He's the closest to Yoda. Out of any of the other Jedis that we've ever seen, I think Obi-Wan is the closest to Yoda in the sense that he has the demeanor. You know, he understands what the Force is. You know, whereas Anakin and even Luke get very emotional.
Yeah. He's always kept it in check.
He always keeps his cool. He always keeps it in check.
He's very level-headed, you know, And that's why I would have to go with Obi-Wan.
If it came down to just hand-in-hand, I would say yes. Advantage Obi-Wan.
Yeah, definitely.
Cuddlebot number 6. Chewbacca versus... That is a Chewbacca impression.
I did my best.
The Runa. Pump, 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 pump. That was me pumping on my chest. There's no way to really translate that into podcast form. Chewbacca versus Daruna. Tell me a little bit about Chewbacca, because I've never heard of this character.
You've never heard of Chewbacca?
I'm just kidding. He's my favorite character.
He's a Wookiee on the planet Kashyyyk, which is a Wookiee planet. And they're warriors. I mean, they're big, tall, furry warriors. And basically Chewbacca, as you know from the movies, you don't know anything about him. He wasn't always with Han. Han... saved his life because Chewie was a slave of the Empire and Han refused to kill him. So, in a sense, he owed him a life debt. So he became his first mate once Han got basically dishonorably discharged from being an Imperial captain. So he became his first mate, and when he became a smuggler and got the Millennium Falcon. So that's kind of Chewie's whole situation there. And he's a fighter.
Chewie's
a fighter. He's an intimidating beast.
And you let him win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, bad things happen.
Yeah. The main thing that Wookiees use is called bowcasters. Basically a crossbow that shoots.
Crossbow. Yeah.
But I mean, they have different kinds that they use. But ultimately, they're ranged. I mean, they can engage in hand to hand combat and they'll be very strong, but. You know, most of the time they're arranged with the bowcasters.
The Wookiees are very similar to the Ewoks, except for the fact they're so big that they don't bother to hide. You know, they're much more aggressive. They just run right on the battle. You know, again, you know, for reference, you know, obviously we've seen Wookiees throughout all the movies. You really start to see the Wookiees in Episode 2.
Episode 2, yeah.
That's where the Wookiees start to shine.
The Clone Wars.
But Chewbacca, I mean, Chewbacca's been in a lot of the films. He wasn't in Episode 1.
No, but
he's been in a lot of the films, and I mean, he's like I said, he really is my favorite Star Wars character. I have a lot of Star Wars characters I'm fond of, but I mean, he's my favorite. I mean,
I just like how loyal he is, you know.
Yes,
and it's not, it doesn't matter what kind of situation he is, he owes his life to Han, and will do absolutely, you know, nothing to save him or just to.
You wouldn't know from his speech, but he's actually really intelligent too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he fixed the Millennium Falcon, and he's always working on that stuff. I mean, he's really intelligent with stuff. So, let's go over to Darunia. A lot of good advantages to him. He's a Goron. First appeared in Ocarina of Time. That's his main game, is Ocarina of Time. And he is, whereas Chewbacca is a member of the Wookiees,
Darunia is the leader of the Goron. I mean, they are similar in that they're very powerful warriors. You know, they have the ability to roll up into a ball and then do kind of like a avalanche type of thing where they just roll at you and attack you. But he is the leader. You know, he's essentially the most powerful of the Goron, and very large, very stern in appearance. This guy is huge. Just huge. Now, if you were to battle these two together, you know, I would say Darunia is wise. I wouldn't say he's exceptionally smart, but he is wise.
Right.
You know, and things they know. But they live in a very, you know, enclosed environment. You know, they live inside a volcano. They are near a volcano, I should say. Their people, you know, they live in caves and that type of thing. So they don't get out much, as opposed to, you know, Chewbacca, who has traversed, you know, a galaxy far, far away.
Right, right.
I mean, he's been all over the place. You know, and Chewbacca's good with weapons. I mean, all sorts of different weapons. You know, this is another case where I think it's going to come down to what's the situation.
Right.
You know, if it was hand-to-hand, I would really go Darunia. I think he's just... there's a reason he's the leader of the Goron, and that's because he is so powerful. He's got these huge muscles. He is humongous. Right. If it was just hand-to-hand, I really think he'd have the advantage. I think Chewbacca's smart enough that he could figure out some way to, you know, take the battle to the next level. If there were weapons involved, I think we'd start to see a totally different ballgame.
Thing is, the Wookiees can be very stubborn, so yeah. He might not be able to... he might not admit I'm the weaker one in this fight. Yeah. Let me regroup and figure out he might still charge
headfirst. It might end up being a weakness in this case. Yeah, it might end up being a weakness. They are powerful. And some of, you know, just talking about as a race, some of the Darunia get, or I'm sorry, some of the Goron get extremely large. Some of them are the same size of like mountains and stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
These guys get humongous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say straight up hand to hand, I'm going to go with the Goron in this case,
yeah,
as opposed to the Wookiee.
Yeah, I'd agree. Sorry, Chewie.
But again, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how that battle pans out. Title bout number 5. Han Solo versus Impa. This one's out of left field a little bit. As a matter of fact, the next two fights are really kind of... they come out of left field a little bit. They're kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Han Solo versus Impa. We know a lot about Han Solo, but why don't you go through and just tell us a little bit about him?
Well, like I said previously, he was an Imperial captain. He was dismissed once for disobedience, dishonorably discharged, however you want to look at it.
He doesn't like to take orders, for sure.
No, he doesn't, for refusing to kill Chewbacca. And he then became a smuggler and started stealing from the Alliance, from the Empire and stuff like that to kind of get back at them. And he's just been he's been that, you know, ever since then. You know, he has his own ship, and he's just a, trying to think of the word.
He's a smuggler. He's an awesome pilot.
Yeah.
You know, he's the anti-hero, really. I mean, he's not your traditional hero. Let's be honest. He did shoot first. He really did, despite what the newer Star Wars tell you. He did shoot first, and there's a reason that's who he is. You know,
you see something standing in his way, he'll take him out.
Right? Yeah, I mean, he's not heartless, but he's smart.
Yeah. You know, he is very intelligent. He is very intelligent.
Okay, and obviously he's terribly fond of Princess Leia.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah. On the reverse side, Impa is very fond of Princess Zelda.
Hmm.
She's actually, there's been a number of characters. Impa is actually a family name, but there's been a number of characters named Impa. They are oftentimes, these are the protectors of the Hylian, the royal family of Hyrule. These are their protectors. But the one we're really referring to, because she's appeared throughout many of the games, the one we're really referring to is the Impa that appears in Ocarina of Time. I think that's the one that people are most fond of. She appears as a very large warrior woman with pointy ears and silver hair. And she is a member of the Shikai.
Which,
Shikai!
Yep, okay. which, again, I mean, these are, it's a warrior race that are just dedicated to protecting Hyrule and the royal family.
Right.
You know, she is a very statuesque woman. Very large, I almost compare her to like an Amazon. She's very large in that sense. You know, doesn't talk a lot. You know, she's a woman of few words. But again, her lineage has appeared throughout many of the games, Ocarina of Time being the biggest one. But, I mean, you know, there's been characters named Impa all the way back to Adventures of Link.
Yeah.
And then most recently, Skyward Sword, there was a character who was very important. So, even though she doesn't talk a lot, I mean, she's very, very... This family, these are very intelligent people. They have good genes in that sense. I mean, they're very powerful a lot of the times, and good genes. And especially in the case of Impa from Ocarina of Time. It'd be an interesting battle. You know, I would root for Han, you know. But here's the thing. She is a warrior, and Han, you know, given when he's outnumbered, he knows it. I mean, I've seen him in, what is it, New Hope, where he goes running away from all the stormtroopers.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, he is very, I think, he's very resourceful.
He is very resourceful.
You know, he's very resourceful, and I think that's his advantage.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing he has on him is a heavy blaster pistol. I mean, that's his main choice. But if he doesn't have that...
I am Millennium Falcon.
If the fight gets taken to the sky, Han Solo's going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but if you're just talking ground with no ships... Yeah, I mean, I don't think Han... Because if he loses that gun, I don't imagine he's a very good hand-to-hand fighter. No. Granted, he is. I mean, he was an Imperial captain, so I'm sure he had some kind of military training.
Yeah.
But you know, as going up against an actual warrior, you know, it's not like he was a front line. I mean, he was a captain. You know, he was a pilot. I mean, those guys aren't known for being warriors.
Yeah, in that sense. Yeah. I mean, as much as I love Han, I'm thinking advantage Impa in this case.
Yeah. Sorry, Han.
I feel bad about that one. I'm not gonna lie.
Unless he went up against her while he was in Carbonite. Then he'd have a shield.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, she could potentially just push him over.
That's true.
Lay flat on the ground.
But if she touches him and doesn't push over, he falls on her and crush her.
True. I like it. The Impa in the situation of a candy machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Shaking the candy machine. Come out here, Han. Flips over.
I like it.
Yeah, given that situation, there's always that small room of error.
Yeah.
Anyways, title bout number 4, Yoda versus Midna. Another kind of just, this is an oddball battle. They're both tiny, I'll give them that. Tell us a little bit about Yoda.
Well, the one thing Yoda has going for him, I mean, obviously besides being a master Jedi, all this stuff, but he trained in Jedi for over 800 years.
Yeah.
So he is a fighter. You know, I mean, he knows how to fight. I don't really like Yoda, never have. I mean,
that's so weird, but
I know that's not the purpose of this. I mean, he was a member of the High Council. You know, he's done a lot. He's been a part of so many battles, wars, and just he's so intelligent. But I mean, and he masters the Force. So, I mean...
More than any other Jedi, really.
But, as we saw in Episode 2, he doesn't really use the Force that well, or fight very well. So, right there, I don't have to say, you know, to Yoda.
I think he knows what's going on, though. I think he does.
You can know what's going on, but knowing what's going on doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
Yeah. He shows up predominantly throughout... I mean, really, out of all the Star Wars films, the only one he doesn't show up in is New Hope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's another one of those ones. I mean, he's probably up there with Chewbacca as far as appearances are concerned. He shows up in a lot.
But, I mean, everybody knows who Yoda is.
So, everybody knows. I mean, here's the thing.
Nobody knows. They don't know what his race is either. From what I could tell, it was never revealed. It's just he's considered a mysterious species.
Huh. That's kind of awesome, though.
It is.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, Midna, for those of you who haven't played Twilight Princess, that's the game Midna shows up in. She's a member of the Twilight, which is a race of people who live in the Twilight Realm. And she's a mysterious masked imp, or at least when she appears in Twilight Princess, when she first appears, she's a mysterious masked imp who is actually the princess of the Twilight Realm. And gotta remember, that gives her a lot of power. I mean, being the fact that she's the princess of the Twilight Realm. And, I mean, she really is Link's spiritual guide throughout Twilight Princess. I mean, she's the one who kind of helps him along and that type of thing. There's a reason why the main villains of Twilight Princess are interested in Midna and why they transform her and that type of thing. And that's because of the fact that, you know, she's definitely got some power. She's definitely got some power. What are your feelings on this battle? Which way do you think it's... If you had to lean, which way
would you say? If I had to lean, I would have to say lean in Yoda's favor.
Really?
Only because he's trained in an art for over 800 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of knowledge and how to fight and how to manipulate and use the Force. And he's very agile. For an old guy, as we saw, he can move. It's not like he's moving very slow.
I think that, then again, I mean, it's given when does this take place? Because when we see Yoda in... Yoda ages very quickly between the new trilogy and the
original. If we're talking Yoda Empire, no, because he can barely get up. He's caught in the dead. But if we're talking Yoda Clone Wars, when he fights Dooku, then that's a different...
Interesting thing about Yoda is the older he gets, the more puppet-like he gets.
Yeah. Very true.
So I'm thinking if Midna can take out Frank Oz, she could really stand a chance.
I don't know. Frank Oz has got a... He's got a whole arsenal of puppets behind him.
I don't see Piggy and Fozzie any cause for alarm. Fozzie's got some bad jokes, but...
I don't know, but I think Fozzie could rally the Wookiees.
Maybe. Waka, waka, waka,
let's go!
Wookiee, Wookiee, Wookiee! Yeah, no, I can see that. I can see that. All right. All kidding aside, here's where it gets real. Title bout number 3, Princess Leia, versus Princess Zelda. Okay, settle down, take a cold shower before, put this thing on pause, put our podcast on pause, come back after you take a cold shower, because... I mean, I can tell you right now, Matt's getting kind of hot.
Especially if it's taking place in, like, mud. Then it's just over. For me, at least.
This is also the battle that probably has the most variables to it. And we'll get into that in just a second. First things first, why don't you tell us a little bit about Princess Leia?
Well, Princess Leia is the daughter of Darth Vader, Anakin, you know.
Spoiler!
Yeah. In case you didn't know, you know. Which, if you didn't, then may God have mercy on your soul.
You're going back under your rock.
Yeah. She's a leader of a rebel alliance. She's a former member of the Imperial State. She's a princess, you know, obviously. She has been around military stuff her whole life, so she's very smart when it comes to battle tactics, and she is a fighter. I mean, her main choice is a blaster pistol. You know, you don't really see her engaging in hand-to-hand combat, but, I mean, she's very smart when it comes to tactics. I mean, she knows how to get stuff done. So
she's the only Disney princess that replaces a talking animal with a blaster in her hand.
It's true.
So that's kind of awesome and a little bit sexy.
That's 100% sexy.
I love those images of her with her hand on her hip and a blaster in the other hand. I mean, it just needs to be placed up with the other Disney princesses.
I agree.
She's got a lot of advantages. But let's take pause in that. We'll remember those things. Think a little bit about Princess Zelda. Okay, so Princess Zelda gets a lot of crap for being the kind of damsel in distress for the series. But let's be fair. When we first encounter Princess Leia, she is a damsel in distress.
Yes.
In A New Hope. So, I mean, there are similarities in that sense. Zelda is a Hylian. The name Zelda is actually given to... multiple female members of Hyrule's royal family. So that's why we see different Zeldas throughout the series. She's oftentimes fair-skinned and blonde, and she has the power of the Triforce of Wisdom. She has the power of a section of the Triforce. Okay. Now, on the reverse side, we discovered that Leia does have you know, Yoda lets us in on it. Yoda, you know, she does have a power, the power of the Force in her as well.
Yes.
So is that, that Force, you know, they both have that distinct advantage on either side of this battle. Zelda has appeared in just about every Zelda game.
Yeah.
You know, just about every single one. Even if it's just giving her, you know, finding her asleep at the end of, you know, Adventures of Link, or, you know, she has appeared in almost every Zelda game. And, you know, depending on which Zelda we're talking about here, her power set changes drastically. You know, you look at Zelda from, you know, Ocarina of Time. It was cool because it was the first time she wasn't just a damsel in distress. Spoiler, no, she ends up being Sheik.
Oh, man, Sheik is amazing.
And Sheik, if you've ever played... So, yeah, okay, so it's a spoiler, unless, obviously, you've played Ocarina of Time or any of the, you know, any of the Super Smash Bros.
Right.
Sheik's got some power behind her.
Yeah, she does. She's a ninja.
I mean, yeah, no, she's fast. She's, I would say, I mean, I could be wrong. I feel like she's the fastest on Super Smash Bros. Bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, she moves fast.
She is.
You know, in other games, Zelda in the Wind Waker series, she turned, you know, again, spoiler, she is actually Tetra the Pirate, who is, again, you know, like, in the sense of Han Solo, you know, very, you know, she's a pirate. You know, she's a master of her domain. She can take advantages when she sees them.
Right.
You know, even in like, Spirit Tracks, she appears in a spiritual form. So she, you know, she can take, in Zelda Spirit Tracks, Zelda can take the form of, you know, if you see the Dark Knots, she can actually go into them and take control of a Dark Knot.
Really?
Which is one of the most powerful villains of the Zelda franchise. So, you know, no matter what Zelda we're talking about, there is a serious advantage to her, not only the fact that she has the Triforce of Wisdom, but the different power set.
Right.
You know, We're going with Zelda from Ocarina of Time, the Sheik Zelda, and I gotta be honest with you, I'm leaning, you know, in this battle, advantage, I'm leaning Zelda in this one.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, you mentioned Leia, you know, having, you know, part of the Force in her. The problem is she hasn't practiced,
yeah,
or is able to use it in any way. You, yeah, know, like, if it was just princess against princess, I would go Princess Leia.
Yeah.
You know, but as soon as Sheik goes into it,
yeah,
that's, I mean, Sheik is nasty. She is nasty.
She is.
She's sneaky, but she's fast, she's deadly. I mean, you know.
But what if it was Sheik versus Princess Leia in her bounty hunter form?
Mm-hmm.
Remember in Return of the Jedi when she comes with the thermal detonator?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take...
He's holding a thermal detonator!
That's exactly right. Let's say a whole different ball game. Bounty Hunter Leia versus Sheik.
I would still have to go Sheik, because that's her Bounty Hunter was just more about intimidation and appearances.
Yeah.
I don't think she necessarily had the combat abilities of a Bounty Hunter.
Right.
So, but if you're just going on intimidation factor for that, I would have to go. Anybody walks in with a thermal detonator, it's pretty much, you pretty much do what I say. Or
okay, one final situation switch. Swimsuit competition. Combined with ability to strangle large, fat, slug-like creatures.
Yeah, it's gonna have to go Leia.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Leia in that situation. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm sorry.
She wants Leia.
I'm leaning towards Zelda.
Yeah.
Unless there's a surprise, I'm leaning towards Zelda.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, Princess Leia. I still love you.
Yeah, I do too.
Carrie Fisher.
I love you too.
Even now, you know.
I'd love to see her in Slave Girl outfit even now.
That's right.
Not going to lie.
She should have worn that when she was in Blues Brothers. That would be great.
Yeah. Or Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Oh, Jesus.
Title bout number two. We're getting down to it. We're close to the end. I think it's pretty obvious where we're going with these last two.
I think so.
Darth Vader versus Ganondorf. Now, I'm willing to admit this is probably the most epic of the battles that we're going to see in this title bout.
Yeah.
This is the most epic one. Tell us a little bit about Vader.
Well, Vader is Anakin Skywalker.
you know, was trained up by Obi-Wan after Qui-Gon got killed. And basically, through his life, felt that Obi-Wan was holding him back and started to, you know, feel the dark side of the Force. And the Emperor Palpatine started, you know, trying to bring him over to this side before you found out right. he was the actual, you know, he was Darth Sidious. Yeah, getting down. so basically, you know, I think his final test was when he killed Windu, Mace Windu.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I thought was awesome because I'm not a Samuel Jackson fan. So that scene right there kind of
good. How can you not be a Samuel Jackson fan having seen The Avengers?
I'm not.
Ants? Boot! That's Avengers line, in case you don't forget.
Oh.
here's the thing. Whether or not, I can't even get into how someone doesn't like Samuel Jackson. The dude, at this point in his career, gets the coolest roles.
He does. I'm not saying he doesn't get the coolest roles. I just don't.
Plus, he was in Pulp Fiction.
He was in Pulp Fiction. That's probably the only good thing he's done. I mean, only good.
Avengers.
No, I mean, in terms of, like, how he's acted in the movie. Like, Avengers, he played basically himself. You know, so it's
well,
just,
that's true. He is definitely a character. He's not a method actor.
No, but, you know, Pulp Fiction was, well, that was the first thing I saw. But anyway, before I get sidetracked, you know, after he kills Windu, you know, he pretty much brought over, you know, he realizes the capability he has. And plus, Darth Sidious, you know, tells him that Padme is going to die when she gives one, but he can save her if he, you know, with the dark side of the Force and stuff like that. So I think that's the ultimate draw to bring him over. And then he becomes Vader.
Yeah.
And just starts messing people up. And I think that's just great.
And every single one of the movies, got to play him in a number of different games,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
Well, he wasn't in Phantom Menace.
Well, Anakin was in.
Anakin, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was in every single one. Yeah, no, Vader's right at it, where it's at. He's the quintessential cinema villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean.
Side note.
He's just a badass.
Side note, Samuel Jackson was in Jurassic Park.
That surely was.
Hold on to your butts.
I just want. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't him. I was going to say that's one big pile of shit, but that wasn't him.
All right, Ganondorf. Member of the Gerudo race. Okay, there's not a lot of males. They're only born every, I'm not remembering, but very good long time, like 100 or 1,000 years. I think it's every 100 years there's a male born to the Gerudo race. And guess what? It's like a female Gerudo buffet once you're born.
I love it.
So that's just out of awesomeness, Ganondorf's going to win this battle.
It's a lot of play.
No, yeah. Ganondorf is extremely powerful and cruel. He's a Gerudo warlock with dark skin, and is almost always seen wearing armor. He has the Triforce of Power at his disposal, which is very impending.
Yes.
His first appearance was actually in Legend of Zelda, but he appeared as Ganon. So he appeared in his beastly form, which is Ganon, which is that huge beast you encounter at the end of Legend of Zelda. He also appeared in Ganon form in Link to the Past, Oracle of Seasons, and Oracle of Ages. Ganondorf, in his less impending form, appears in Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess. You know, he is the quintessential villain of video games, really. I mean, if you were to say what is the... I'm not saying the most well-known villain of video games, but if you were to say what is the most... who is the greatest example of a villain in video games, I might go Ganondorf, to be quite honest with you. He is kind of the Darth Vader of video games, you know. What are you thinking? I mean, what are you leaning towards here?
This is tough.
First of all, isn't a day battle. This isn't one day. This is weeks, months.
I think the favor will go slightly in Ganon's favor because Darth Vader does have that little spark of humanity left in him.
Hmm.
And I think that ultimately that would be his downfall.
Yeah.
Where Ganon is just, he's just evil. You know? I mean, you know, like, I don't know.
Vader's very strong, good fighter, obviously very strong with the Force, but it's just he's not Ganondorf, you know? Yeah. And Ganondorf is, well, he's a warlock.
See, I'm going to go the other way. I'm thinking Vader, I don't think his humanity is going to come out during this battle. You know, he only seems to have reason to show humanity when his kids show up, you know? Otherwise, I mean, once he's in Vader form, I mean, we're not talking Anakin versus Ganon. If it's Anakin versus Ganon,
yeah.
Just total destruction. But, you know, Darth Vader versus Ganondorf, I might lean towards Vader. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Vader has been trained by some awesome, awesome people. You know,
he's been trained in both sides of the Force.
You know, yeah. And I think that's going to play to his advantage in this fight. I mean, that's just for me. I'm thinking in this fight he may have an advantage based on the fact that he understands both sides of the Force.
Yeah.
You know, Ganondorf understands power, and that's why he has the Triforce of Power. He understands that, and he understands evil. But I really think there's a distinct advantage here for Vader just based off the fact that. I don't think his humanity is going to come out. I think knowing the both sides of the Force, I think
I don't know. He might.
He's also wicked intelligent, you know. Yeah. Even as a kid, and you know, obviously he came down the flight. He's an expert pilot, you know. I'm going to go the reverse side. I'm going to pull out Vader in this battle.
I think it would come down to what type of situation it's in. You know, like. If they're in close quarters,
yeah,
I would say probably Vader would have that advantage. But if you're in open area, I don't know. I think that's tough. That's tough. That is a tough one.
It's a tough one. All right. In case you couldn't pick, I figured it out. Title bout number one. Actually, I wish I had something funny made up for this, like some alternate battle that took place. Of course, though, it is Luke versus. Link. I mean, that just sounds like a cool fight.
It does sound like
a Luke cool fight. Luke versus Link. Let's just go right into it. Tell us a little bit about Luke Skywalker.
Well, Luke is the brother to Leia, son of Padme and Anakin. You know, yep. He had no training in the ways of the Jedi until he was much older. When Obi-Wan found him he was knocked unconscious by those Tusken Raiders.
Right.
And stuff like that. And then when he came back, found out that his aunt and uncle were burned alive and stuff like that. And he was basically taken under the wing of Obi-Wan and started to train him.
Who knew that his aunt and uncle being burned alive would actually be one of the best things that happened to him?
That's true.
He got exactly what he wanted in the end.
Yeah. First thing I would have done after I saw that is I would have gone to the Tashi station to pick up the power converter.
The first thing I would have done if I was Obi-Wan, I would have walked up and said, "Careful what you wish for, because it just might happen."
It's true. He's
a little whiny.
He's a little whiny. You know, he really grows throughout the series. I mean, when we're talking about him in the fight, we're talking about Jedi, Return of the Jedi, Luke.
Yeah.
Obviously he's not a master Jedi. He's still.
When people give Return of the Jedi a hard time. Sometimes, you know, and obviously Empire is the best one. But people give Return of the Jedi a hard time, and it's just like, yeah, but Luke, this is where you get to see Luke, and this is, the whininess is gone. It's Luke in his prime. I mean, he's almost like, he's all in black, and he has his green lightsaber. He's almost like I don't want to say part Sith, but I mean, he's got a dark side to him, and he's not afraid to embrace that a little bit. And I think that does him a good service in that environment.
Yeah.
Luke shows up in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say he has a small cameo in
episode three.
Luke. Leia.
Playable character in many different games. Super Star Wars. All the Super Star Wars series. Many different weapons because of the fact, I mean, he starts out with a blaster. And then
blaster,
ends up with a
lightsaber. And then gets trained in the Force.
Weapon Smith. And he can create his own lightsaber. Which is part of what the deal is becoming a Jedi, to create your own lightsaber. Expert target.
He was originally given Anakin's lightsaber, though.
Yeah, that's right.
When he was a Jedi, and before it became
that. Interesting enough, though, when he creates his own, he doesn't go for the color that Anakin has. He ends up going for the color that Yoda had, green.
which is interesting.
Well, Yoda's who ultimately trained him.
But also an expert marksman, which is what's going to make this fight so cool, because a lot of these same things can be said about Link. Link is a Hylian. He's the hero of the Zelda series, oftentimes portrayed as a boy, dressed in green, and has pointy ears. He likes to carry around, his weapon of choice is, of course, the Master Sword. He also has his Hylian shield, and he is the master of the Triforce of Courage, which is good to have.
Bravery is key.
You know, when he's a kid, you know, similar to Luke, when he's younger, I mean, instead of being whiny, he's a little bit, you know, quiet and brooding. But the difference is that never really goes away. He's always kind of quiet and brooding. Yeah. He doesn't ever talk, obviously. And he showed up, believe it or not, he showed up in every single Legend of Zelda game.
No, he didn't show up in the first one.
Nope, he did. Although the character is different. These are all different ranks. You know, I think the quintessential Link that we have to go for is, of course, Ocarina Link. You know, regardless of which timeline you like, you know, that's the Link that we're going for in here. You know, I might do, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but, you know, I'd say Ocarina Link. I mean, the one that grows up to be Twilight Princess Link, that's the one we're talking about in this case. You know, he's the ultimate hero of, again, video games. I mean, he is the ultimate hero. And I don't know. I'm loving this fight. I'm being quite honest with you. What are you thinking? What are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning toward Link, only because he is not a master Jedi.
Right.
Even at the end of Return, he has not reached his peak potential. You know. Right. You know, he's able to take down, you know, obviously able to take down Vader, but I don't.
Yeah,
Link has a huge arsenal.
Correct.
Behind him in terms of what he can use.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. Link, I'll let you do it. You go through Link's arsenal.
So he's got the sword, his sword and board. He's got bow.
Yeah.
He's got nets. He's got boomerangs. He's got magic.
Right.
You know, depending on if he has any fairies with him to replenish his wounds. He's got you know, magical flutes to, you know, blow kisses. You know, all that kind of stuff.
All right, I don't know how that's going to help him out, but we'll keep going.
Well, Luke might, you know, be interested in that. I'm trying to think what he's got. Bombs.
It's difficult because, I could see your Master Sword.
And the Master Sword. I mean, he can shoot projectiles out of his Master Sword.
I mean, I could see your Master Sword with lightsaber. You know, I could see your crossbow with blaster. I could see your bomb with thermal detonator, you know. And you're talking magic. I mean, even the magic that Link wields in Legend of Zelda, I mean,
Ice Rod, man.
As opposed to the Force.
No, see, I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. He is not a master of the Force. He can't do what Yoda does. He couldn't do what Obi-Wan did. He doesn't have that capability. He can, he pulled his, you know, his plane out of the swamp, but that's probably the extent of it. He doesn't have any Force lightning. He doesn't do Force choke. He doesn't, you know, do any of that other stuff. He has some telekinetic powers, but if he's outside in an open fight, that's not going to do anything.
I don't know. I still think it's a distinct advantage. Just having the Force, you know, if he can get one good shot on Link, then Link's no longer going to be able to shoot stuff out of his sword. Right there.
Unless he's got a whole bag full of fairies.
Okay, but I see your fairies with midichlorians.
But his midichlorian count's not that high.
Do we know that? Is there? We need to like wiki this or something.
Well, you gotta.
I want to know like official.
You figure he probably has a. I mean, if it was just him who was born, he'd probably have half the count that his dad did. But since they're twins, half went with his sister and half.
Yeah, but his dad is his dad's supposed to be the chosen one. So I mean, you're talking the Jedi of Jedi.
Yeah, but he had sex with a useless woman. I mean, Padme was useless.
Okay, Padme was.
She may be intelligent, but
look at Episode One. She leads the whole force. I mean, Padme definitely is the Leia of the other one.
She's in my eyes a pedophile.
You know,
so
Anakin is
quite young, but let's be honest, when they hook up, he is over 18. So.
Yeah, but you can't get that image of a little kid out of your head.
I'm imagining when in episode one she wasn't having thoughts about him.
She might have been. Who knows?
Maybe she is a sicko. I have no idea. She's a master of disguise, too, but she's not one of the Vandals, so why are we talking about her?
I don't know. I mean, it's...
I'm going Link. I'm going Luke. I got to be honest with you. I think we're going to have to disagree on the main title bout in this case.
I think I'm going to have to go Link.
You know,
because Link, he's been a fighter for a lot longer.
You know what?
No, he's been through more. I mean, Luke, I don't know. I mean, the cool thing Luke has done, you know, which makes him awesome, but it was when he rescued Han and them from Jabba.
Right.
When he was on the deflecting the shots. And, right. You know, he did all that himself. You know, you got, you know, R2-D2. So, right. So in terms of planning and strategy, he's got that going on. But I think it's going to come down to location for them.
You know what? I don't know if we're going to agree. I think we're going to have to get an outside... Someone from the outside to give us some input on this.
I think we
should call AJ.
Okay.
Our buddy from 8-Bit Horse. This is completely unscripted. Let's just go ahead. I don't know what he's doing today. Probably working. We probably shouldn't call him right now. But let's just go ahead and call him anyways and just see what he has to say.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we have AJ from 8-Bit Horse, our good friend, on the line. How you doing, AJ?
Doing just fine. How are you?
And we just sent you over our information on our first ever title bout, Triforce versus the Force, Star Wars versus the Legend of Zelda franchise. What are your thoughts, and what fights are you looking forward to?
I think some of the more interesting fights would be, like, Princess Leia versus Princess Zelda, I think would be kind of a fun fight, because both of them, they both sort of get kidnapped, but Princess Leia... She actually fights back, whereas Princess Zelda typically does not. But then you have, like, the Tetra version of Princess Zelda. So,
Wind Waker.
Exactly. So if she could break out, like, go Tetra style, I think that would be pretty interesting. Otherwise, I think Princess Leia would kind of win in a minute.
You got Sheik, too, from Opening Time. You know that's a mud wrestling fight, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, in that case, Princess Leia would have a harder time moving around in her outfit or Princess Zelda would have a harder time moving around than Princess Leia.
In that case, you know who the winner is?
Who would that be?
Us.
All men.
I see how that goes. any of the big villain stuff, so Vader versus Ganondorf would be just because they're both super powerful characters, I still think Ganondorf would end up winning that fight just because, I mean, they both sort of, you know, Vader's got the Force and Ganondorf has various magics and whatnot, but Vader really, when it comes down to it, he's sort of, he's an asthmatic that can't turn his head all the way. So I think Ganondorf would probably have to win that fight.
That's interesting, because that's the way Matt was leaning, and I went Vader, I'm not going to lie, but that's the way Matt was kind of leaning. No thoughts on the Jar Jar Tingle fight?
I think actually Tingle comes out ahead in that fight just because he seems to be a little bit more comfortable with his own sexuality, and Jar Jar hasn't quite admitted that he really wants to bed Anakin, and
I think in that particular fight we should just throw a thermal detonator in the middle and just let the whole discussion end.
I agree.
End the whole discussion. But nope. the reason we really called you was because Matt and I have some serious debates on the Link-Luke fight. He tends to think that Link would win that fight. And I got to be honest, I'm leaning towards Luke Skywalker as opposed to Link Pot Smasher.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with Matt on this one and go with Link. Because, you know, both of them, they went through, you know, sort of a journey. You know, Luke, he becomes stronger. He becomes a Jedi Knight by the end of the thing. But the thing is like, Link has been a badass since he was a little kid. I mean, he's been fighting off monsters. I mean, he was committing, you know, breaking and entering and vandalism and stuff like that when he was just, like, you know, barely able to walk. And, you know, Luke's sitting around, you know, whining about power converters and stuff like that and crying.
Yes.
So, and, you know, Link, I mean, like I said, there's Kid Link actually whipped some major butt, and it took Luke years of complaining before he ever learned how to do that stuff. And it was just because Yoda was, like, pulling him through. He's like, come on, man. He's like, you gotta focus. And he's like, I don't want to. It's hard.
So it doesn't even matter the fact that as a kid he could target Womp Rats?
Yeah, but he had to use a ship. He had to fly around in his, what was that thing?
Land speeder.
Yeah, well, no, it was, dang it.
TIE Fighter?
It was a, I don't remember what he calls it.
I'm just going to keep listing stuff.
I referenced it in Explosion Aid. I called it a pink 16 or something like that, but that's not what he actually said. I don't remember what the quote is. But yeah, it's like he's flying a ship. He was, you know, he's torturing animals. That's not really cool. I think that's just kind of evidence that he's eventually going to go to the dark side. I think he's going to be the villain in Episode 7.
Really? Future spoiler.
That'd be awesome.
Preemptive spoiler alert.
That would be awesome.
That actually would be awesome if Mark Hamill came back to play the villain.
That's the way I would do it. Now, did you see Mark Hamill in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back as the villain?
Yeah, as quote-unquote cockknocker.
That's the guy. Exactly.
As for our fans, I did not make up the name.
Yeah, you get that maniacal Joker laugh in there, and right. He's just going to be kicking the heck out of everybody and lightning him with dark force. That'd be
fair,
awesome.
Mark Hamill plays a great villain between the Joker, between Cockknocker, between...
And Hamill is the best Joker voice of all time. I'm sad that he's not going to be doing it anymore.
He was the trickster in The Flash.
That's true, I forgot about it. The one where Flash had giant muscle neck.
Yes, giant muscle neck.
Yeah.
So, just saying. I don't know how that has to do with the fight, but I'm sure that...
I'm sure
Muscle Neck will come into play. So, our media friend, AJ from 8-Bit Horse, goes, Link, what a surprise. Wouldn't happen to be that Legend of Zelda is your favorite series.
That might have a little bit to do with it, yeah. Because I've played every single Legend of Zelda game.
Link just has more of an arsenal, you know?
If you're going up against him, like, you've got a fully trained, force-powered Luke versus a fully powered-up Link. Link's got the Master Sword and the Hookshot and the Boomerang and all kinds of stuff. He's no slouch.
So you think that the Master Sword is more powerful than a lightsaber?
I think they'd probably be around equal power. I don't think a lightsaber's cutting the Master Sword in half.
Okay. Fair enough.
But you got to admit that Link's a better swordsman than Luke is.
I mean, Link, I'll be honest, Luke holds his own against Vader.
Wait, that's sure, but Vader's not a good swordsman either. I mean, you saw him, he got his arms cut off and everything, and he cried about it.
That's true.
That never happened to Link.
Fair enough.
That never happened to Link.
Owned. Fair enough.
Don't get me wrong, I love Luke. I mean, I think it's an awesome character, but I just think in one-on-one at Link, it's not... One would blow the other out of the water. I think Link just has a slight advantage over Luke.
Hmm.
Yep. And Link has been a sword fighter since he was a little kid as well.
Yeah.
Plus he has a shield as well.
If you count practicing with Dooku sticks and running around.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Are they called Deku sticks? What are they called, AJ?
I think it would be Deku, yeah.
What would you think in this fight? Count Dooku versus a Deku stick. Or no, Count Dooku versus the Deku tree?
Dooku's, well, the tree is supposed to be kind of awesome, but the little Deku kid or whatever, it's going to get trounced by Dooku.
Fair enough. Well, you know what? Even though I disagree with you, I appreciate your opinions on the matter, considering the fact that you've probably played more Zelda games than both me and Matt combined.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
Which is pretty much every single one.
I've played all the console Zeldas. I haven't played all the handhelds yet.
Yeah, so you beat us out.
Yeah, I played 1, 2, and Link of the Past. That's it.
That's why when it comes to Zelda knowledge, you're our phone-a-friend.
There you go.
Yay!
So, hey, AJ, we want to thank you very much for helping us out in this little debate.
Sure, man. Anytime.
Is there any
fights that we forgot that we left out that we should have put in there? Star Wars versus Legend of Zelda that you're thinking?
I don't think that you necessarily left any out. I liked some of the you know team ups that you put together. I like the idea of seeing C-3PO and Scrapper like complain, you know, have a complaint. That would be awesome. They'd be like, "Oh, this is I hate my life. It's so terrible. And you're always asking me to do stuff I don't want to do." And then R2 would just zap the crap out of both of them.
So that's how you saw that fight going on? Because seriously, that fight to me was, and I mentioned this in the podcast, I was thinking Fee versus C-3PO in just a debate of annoyingness. Like, who can be more obnoxious in talking?
Right. Oh, I think they would just argue it out, but I think in the end, R2-D2 gets them all. I think R2-D2 versus Luke, R2-D2 wins. I think R2-D2 is probably the strongest character in the entire Star Wars trilogy.
He does live throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's beating up R2. I think R2 versus Link, I think Link would have a problem beating him as well. and Ganondorf. I think R2 could beat Ganondorf.
Listen, well, on that note, we got to let you go because that was awesome. So thank you very much, AJ.
You bet, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye. All right, so what do you guys think? We want to hear from our fans. Does anyone agree with me on Link? Luke, does anyone agree that Luke might stand a chance against Link or any of these other fights? Do you agree with us, disagree with us? Or as I said with AJ, is there any fights we left out? There might be some of you out there that really want to see a fight between the Gerudo, the Desert People, against the Tusken Raiders.
That would be awesome.
That might be an awesome battle. There might be others that want to see a fight between the Emperor from, you know, the Star Wars franchise, and Demise, the King of the Demons from Skyward Sword.
Sexy.
Or how about this one? Rancor versus King Dodongo, which would be a huge fight. You want to know what mine was? The one that we didn't fit in that I really wanted to see? Listen to this one. The Jedi Council versus the Sages.
Wow.
Because that would be a really awesome one.
That would be cool.
Just have the most powerful members of, you know, like, Hyrule and the most powerful members of the Jedi Council just have them go head-to-head. Is there any fights that you guys want to see that we left out? Please contact us. Let us know, because we're going to be featuring a lot of this stuff. We got some of our media friends who are going to weigh in and tell us what they think. And if you are interested in contacting us, Matt's going to go down some of the different ways you can get a hold of us in order to tell us what battles you'd like to see, who'd win what battles, whatever you think.
You can send us an email at famiconflashbacks@yahoo.com. Go ahead and like us on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at famiconflash. Be sure to subscribe and comment on our YouTube channel. We also have our blog site where you can follow us and leave comments there as well, famiconflashbacks.wordpress.com.
And the WordPress is key for this, for the title box.
Yes, yes.
We're going to have a lot of our information. Like I said, Jupiter's going to be posting this week, and he just posted this past week and tell us all about these different bouts to lay it all out. So if you don't want to listen to the whole 2-hour podcast again to remember what fights are in here, he's going to have it all laid out on our WordPress. So if you look up the Famicom Flashback WordPress, you can see the whole thing laid out. We're also going to get some of our media friends to weigh in there and finally go through and see who actually would win these fights.
Yeah, and then in the second part of this podcast, we'll be discussing the results and see who the ultimate victors are in here. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
So let's just go to it. Until next time, let's keep retro gaming alive.
Peace.